Blog Talk Radio.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Because I'm here live.
Get it back live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Get it back live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Never eat a pig.
Well, there you go. It's another wonderful night of football. Yes, sir, we're going to talk football. It's been a hectic week. I'll tell you, the excitement is just burgeoning. Yes, it is. The CFL football world is ablaze. We've got four of the best teams in the CFL this year deciding to pare down to two. In the West, indisputable, the Calgary Stampeders and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, yes, those two teams deserve to be in the end. There are no other teams in the West right now. They're all that's left, and they've earned their position. Now, the way they put it is, we're playing for the dressing room. That's right. Saskatchewan will be sitting in a dressing room today, this week. And they're there today, too. That will be the Grey Cup dressing room. That's where they're practicing. The Calgary Stampeders, they want to be sitting in that Saskatchewan dressing room because it means they'll be in the Grey Cup. And I'm sure the same is true for both Hamilton and, of course, Toronto. Now, I'd like to start with something that impressed me immensely. Okay, I tried to make it the intro. Unfortunately, production being what production is, didn't allow me to do it. You know, I've spent a lot of time. I don't know about you folks. CFL.ca. If you're a CFL fan and you don't check that site out, you're missing a lot because there's a lot going on there, and there's the quick links to each of the teams. Now. Maybe I'll start with this and then I'll explain, then it'll explain why I want to play. No, you know what? I'll play the intro first. Okay. I think that's what I'll do. I think what I should do is I should play the intro first and then I'm going to give you a chance to think about why Frank would do such a thing. This is the new fresh off the presses Ticat intro.
Tonight, every play, one play at a time, playing like it's your last game. Every playoff game in my mind.
One, two, three. One, two, three. One.
Yeah.
This is our time. Welcome to playoffs.
So, I guess you might wonder why an Argo fan like me would play the Ticat intro. Well, here's another reason why I did. There was a bet between the two Chiefs, Blair and Decaire. That sound like a singing team, eh? Huh? Blair and Decaire, they had a bet. The team that won would have the luxury of providing a team jersey that the other Chief would have to wear. So as it turned out, Blair lost, Decaire won, and so therefore Chief Blair, who you've seen in the news recently, had to wear a Ticat uniform.
With a win this past Thanksgiving, Hamilton Police Chief Glenn Decaire is now 3-0 in the Chiefs Challenge. And this afternoon he came to collect on his bet with a condition that's tailor-made for Toronto Chief of Police, Bill Blair.
2005 was his first year as a Chief of Police in the Toronto Police Service, so that's why we selected the number 5, just to memorialize that important event in the city of Toronto, but also for him personally as the year that he became the Chief.
This year Glenn came back to me and said, let's do this one more time. And of course Hamilton won the game. But I say that with a certain sense of pride because I am the lucky recipient and I get to wear the Tiger Cat sweater and I wear it with pride.
Both Blair and Decaire are avid CFL football fans and each offered their own predictions for Sunday's all-important matchup.
It's going to be a fabulous game, and I think this is something, you know, a great thing that all of us in Ontario can celebrate, the rivalry between Hamilton and Toronto. The game this Sunday, it's going to be a perfect day.
The key against the Argos is to dominate the ground game, so this is where the strategy with the multiple quarterbacks is going to pay off, and I expect that we'll see all the quarterbacks involved in the game playing key roles.
With this year's challenge being that Blair wear a Ticats jersey as opposed to raising a Ticats flag, Decaire's timing couldn't be better.
I really feel an obligation to my friend Chief Decaire to wear this sweater, but I walk in the Santa Claus parade every year, and I get to lead the parade and sort of set the pace and go out front. I'm a little bit concerned about having to stand in front of 500,000 Torontonians wearing the sweater of the Hamilton Tiger Cats because they know I'm an Argo fan.
Let's hope the Ticats can emulate the success of Chief Decaire this Sunday, leaving Argos fans draped in envious tones of black and gold. For Ticats TV, I'm Jordan Armanis.
This is Brian Bulkey, and you're watching Ticats TV.
And they're the ones that deserve the credit for that. Now, I have to tell you that I've spent a little bit of time, and for those of you that spend a little time on the Internet, and if you acquire information and or entertainment from said place, many of you may or may not, it's, you know, up to you to decide, but many of you may or may not agree with what I'm going to say right now. Now, I'm an Argo fan, but I have to tell you, I don't know if I'm going to be able to hang out with the Argo guys, but I got to tell you, I really believe the Ticats doing a monumental, great job on their website. They really love their team, and they really do a great job of doing stories and really hyping the team. Am I saying that the rest of the CFL is far behind? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I just am saying that clearly Hamilton does the best job of all the CFL teams, and I've spent the year now following each of the websites, and I can't be shy about telling the truth, and that is the truth. But you know what? I'm going to have to go to the Argo offices and have a conversation with them because I can't put up with this. They cannot have the better website than us. It's just not right. Now, speaking of not right, joining me right now, our first one of the Babbling Brook, none other than Mike Menasse. Are you there, Mike?
Maybe it's
right
not
there.
Him.
Oh, it's not Mike. Oh, goodness. I got my wrong long-distance area code.
He got you wrong. I'm restricted.
No, you're not restricted because I can see your number. And I just realized it's, you believe it or not, I think his area code I guess it doesn't matter if I tell the area code, right? His area code is 651, I think, and yours is 661.
Yeah, but mine's coming through Skype. It just makes it up as it goes along.
Oh, is that what it does? Is that what
yeah,
it does?
Yeah, because my area code would be 604.
I'm glad it's either you or and I got to give John a call shortly. I'm glad it's you or Mike, because I want to start with the West Division, because you know, we tend to get all carried away with the Eastern Division, and so I wanted to talk about the Western Division. Do you feel comfortable talking about the Western Division?
I always feel comfortable talking about the Western Division.
I thought you might. Now. I'll tell you what, here, I'm going to ask you to sit back for a couple of minutes here, five to be exact. I got Corey Chamberlain here, Chamberlain, and I've got an interview with him, and let's hear what he has to say. And while I let that run, I'll make sure that John gets in here, and we'll move forward with the program. And we'll start with the Saskatchewan-Calgary debate that will take place at 3:30 Mountain Time, I think. 4:30 Eastern Standard Time, I guess 1:30 your time.
Okay.
Something like that. Okay, and let's
like
go
that.
To We're... Corey Chamberlain.
Did Chris get off practice today?
He was out there at practice today. You know, he's not available right now because he had to get back into treatment, but he was out at practice today.
How did he look?
He looks about the same, 6'1", 190.
No haircut or anything like that?
No, he still looks the same.
Did he look physically able to play a football game this weekend?
Yeah, he didn't look like he was sick or anything. He looked physically good. Yeah. Next question.
Torrey, some Stamps are saying it'll be nice to use your locker room next week. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I think that's, you know, whoever, you know, has those thoughts, I think those are all good thoughts. And all they're saying is they want to be in the Grey Cup. We want to be able to use the locker room also. You know, I think that's what it is. There's teams right now, or two teams in the West, and that's what we're fighting for, the locker room and the opportunity to have it.
Where would you put that Darian Durant performance in the Western semifinal? Is that the best since you've been here?
Darian's had some good play, you know what I'm saying? As far as in the playoff game, you know, it's his best to date since we've been here. But, you know, Darian's just had some good performances. He's a good quarterback, and like I said, he has the ability to take games over. A medical update?
Yeah.
Not clearly at this point. I'll make sure I have one for you tomorrow.
These two teams have been among all season that's been talked about of the two best teams. Is it animosity, respect? Does it even get to hate sometimes when you hear the trash talking back and forth?
Those guys don't hate each other. Those guys go hang out all the time in the offseason. If you truly hate someone, you don't talk to them. I think it's just competitive fire. That's the biggest thing. A lot of competitive fire, and guys like to go against one another, and, you know, they just like to get their emotions revved up and going. And, you know, it's exciting for the guys to play each other and try to get those bragging rights.
What's the respect factor?
I think there's big respect. You know, when you look at it, there's guys that's played on different teams with each other. You know, as far as respect, you know, we understand they're a good team. They understand that we're a good team. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, sometimes emotions get in the way. But, like I said, it's the two best teams right now playing in the Western Final.
What do you say to the players and people, what they should be saying,
Well, I mean, basically I just tell them, you guys turn anything that they say into how you want it said. So make sure they don't say too much, you know, because you're not going to get the whole thing said. The best thing is just to focus on what we need to focus on. That's what the guys need to be doing. They'll make one or two comments, but they don't need to focus on the other team and what's being said and things of that sort.
Is that a carryover from the game, the last game in Calgary, where so much was said and emotions fly during the game? Do you think that is sort of a rationale for dealing with that in the past?
No, I just think, you know, it's where we are. It's a brand new season. You know, regular season is regular season. Postseason is something totally different. And the biggest thing, like I said, is we have to keep our mind stayed on us. And once we do that, we'll be pretty good.
Corey, you haven't had team success in Calgary since you got here. How do you change that?
By winning.
How do you win?
You know, the biggest thing we got to do is just continue to do the little things right. You know, they're a very good opponent, you know, but because of what happened in the past doesn't mean it can't happen now and in the future. And that's what we have to do. It's not an impossible feat. We just have to be good on game day.
Is it something that hangs over the guys? Do players think of that and go, we haven't got one here in a while?
as far as the final in 2010, the last final, Saskatchewan did get it there. So, you know, as far as in the semis, didn't get it last year, and we were close on that. You know, but like I said, it doesn't make an impossible feat. Guys understand that it's always going to be a tough football game. We just got to do everything possible. And like I said, if things go our way, come out with a win.
Corey, when you look at the film of that last game, is it one where you look at it and go, you know what, if we just could have put the ball in the end zone instead of settling for field goals, we would have beat them considering the way it went in the first half?
We won the game. Now, are you talking about Calgary?
Calgary.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the last game. Yeah. Now, you know, when you look at it, there's a couple of things. That's any football game. You know, a couple of times we played the Stamps, we've been up on them. Sometimes they've come back on us and different things like that. So, you know, whether it's a four-point loss or anything like that, there have always been good games. We just have to make sure that we're doing all the little things and, you know, and maturing as a team and improving.
What are your thoughts on just how what football team does in 3 hours and influence the climate in an entire province or an entire fan base? Kind of marvel at how what you do has such an effect on
you know what, I really don't, you know, and like I said, the biggest thing is I try to just concentrate what's going on inside these walls and make sure that the guys are you know, doing their jobs. You know, we see it as a job, and then like I said, we know that the better we are at our jobs, the more some people will be happy. So that's the biggest thing.
What do you make of the so-called rivalry between Corey Sheets and
You know, that's just two good running backs. You know, right now they're just the top two in the league statistically, and it's just two young men that want to, that are vying to say they're the best. You know, and I think that's the same, you know, all across the league. But that's pretty much what it is with those two young guys.
What do you make of this rivalry, having seen it from both sides?
You know what? You know, I've been on a couple of teams in this league, and it's a very good rivalry. You know, and it's just two teams that always play to the finish. You know, and every game I've been in on both sides, both teams have always played to the finish. You know, so that's always a good game to be in.
So there you have Corey Chamblin's, well, what he thinks should be said or done. And what did you think of his comments? He seems a little defensive, doesn't he?
He did. You want me to elaborate, don't you?
Yeah,
he was
very
defensive when he was being very defensive when the guy was thinking that he was talking about the BC game, and he says, we won that game. And I go, well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. No, of course they won it. Otherwise, the BC Lions would be playing the Stamps this weekend.
And he seems to have some concerns about, you know, well, good. Now you see, now the 651 area code just piped in. Here we go. I got 551, 651, and 661. You guys are very, there's a deep similarity between the three of you. First of all, let me introduce Christopher Jones, who is talking with us right now, and then John Granger as well. John Granger, welcome to the program. No stranger, Granger.
How you doing, fellas?
And, of course, Mike Menasse, Gebron Dean. And, Mike, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Now, did you get a chance to hear Chamblin's interview?
Which one?
Well, the latest one, the one on the 13th.
No,
I just played it. Well, here, you're just going to have to trust me when I say this. He seemed a bit defensive, and he seems a bit concerned, and he's being very coy when it comes to injuries. He started by a question asked of him of a player, and right this second, I don't remember the player, and he says, they said, well, what is that? Getzlaff. What does he look like right now? He goes, well, he's 6'1".
Mm-hmm. 6'1",
you
190
know?
Pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not letting it, like, all these teams, and we're concentrating right now on the Western Final, okay, guys? We can do that for the first portion of the show. And in the Western Final, you've got two teams that really, really believe they're the better team. No different than the Eastern, but with the Western, it's a little different in the sense that Saskatchewan has made a lot more moves, you know, with players of repute, of name, you know, building on a young team. Calgary has been in power for a while as far as being a great team in the West. Do you think that might be the reason? One is trying to hold on to their, you know, their throne, and the other knows that they can overturn them? I guess I'll start with you, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at things, like I said before, you know, Calgary's got all the pressure on them, and, you know, when you look at some of the interviews, like with Keon Raymond and stuff, you can sense that they're kind of agitated, and, you know, I can tell the writers get in their head, and, you know, they always hate the fact that the stadium gets half green, and all of it plays into a factor. But at the end of the day, it's just what you do on the field, and I just feel like the writers, matchup-wise, I think they're ready to take them. I really do. I mean, all bias aside, honestly, when you look at it, you sit it down, look at the paper, look at the way the teams have been playing towards the end of the season, you factor in the injuries. I don't know how you can't give the Riders the edge.
Okay, well, let's take it one piece at a time. And John, you probably didn't hear the interview either, I take it.
No.
But you heard... And from what I understand, Bruce John Inch, he just texted me and said, "Nah, that's the way he is all the time. He's very coy and he doesn't give answers and he doesn't like talking about injuries." Do you think there's a lot more pressure on Calgary or Saskatchewan, John, in this situation, in this particular game?
Well, first, I don't think any coach is going to go and divulge anything that the press wants to hear as news. So it's all going to be low-key, generic answers, the stuff that they've been taught to do as coaches for a very long time. So we're not going to get nothing, okay? Saskatchewan is banged up. Everybody is always banged up a little bit after falling on a game, especially a hard-hitting, cold on your skin, which kind of hurts three times more than it would in a nice 30 degrees weather game. They're a little bit banged up. The Calgary defense is banged up, as we know, too. But, you know, the Riders, they're running on adrenaline for the Grey Cup. Calgary, on the other hand, you know, they got something to prove. They walked out of Toronto last year with a bad taste in their mouth the way they lost it. They knew that they were a better team. I think, you know, it's going to be tight, guys. And... you know, I hate to say it. For some reason, I'm starting to feel Ryder game is going to be the outcome on that one. I know, Mike, you're happy about that. And like I said, I just got to go with what I'm hearing and what I'm getting out of the news reports and the stuff that's out in the wire. You know, the fact that the Riders have stopped the trash talking is a big thing, because they thrive on doing that, and sometimes that's been their worst enemy, as we have seen, guys, because the other team likes to get jacked up for that. So they're going in this with a mature frame of mind. It's only, are they really fully healthy? And I think that pain will be band-aided up with all the adrenaline that they got going into this game. And the fans that are following them up there, you know, it's not going to hurt.
Yep, you're right, John. You know, another nail in the coffin for Calgary is I didn't realize, but I just found out that Mark K. McDaniel will not be playing.
When did that just came out now?
Yeah, well, the coach mentioned it.
Oh.
That Mark K. McDaniel won't be playing. That's got to really hurt. You know, I mean, Nick Lewis is out. Then, you know, I mean, they're really, you know, all. Let's talk about the injury. So do we all agree that Calgary's suffering the injury bug a little harder than Saskatchewan? Chris? Christopher?
Well, they lost some good key players. Marquis is without, we knew that. I mean, the last game of the year, he broke his leg, so there was no surprise that he was going to show up this week.
Okay.
So, that's not a surprise in any way. The two D linemen, that they were definitely out. I mean, that was said right in the BC game at the end there. It says, no, they're not going to be back for the year. These are substantial injuries. So, you know, is their injury bug greater? Yes. But I do disagree with Mike. I don't believe the pressure's on Calgary. I believe the pressure is on Saskatchewan. They have to. Their fans put so much pressure on them.
Yeah.
Everybody puts pressure on Saskatchewan. The Riders are there. They everybody's going, yo, 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 we're the best. We're going to win. We're going to win. And the players have to live up to all this hype from all these fans. And that doesn't matter whether you're playing Winnipeg or you're playing in the Grey Cup. That pressure is always going to be on Saskatchewan greater, more than any other team.
Chris, not Chris, sorry. No, I'm getting confused. Mike, the injury bug, it's hitting our friends in Calgary more than Saskatchewan?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the timing of the recent injuries, too, has really hurt them, where they lost both their starting defensive tackles and they had to sign guys off the street who, you know, they just got to throw them right in there and have to start in the Western Final. So, you know, I mean, like you said all year, Frank, they've done a great job of, you know, finding guys and plugging holes, but I think it's finally going to catch up with them now.
Well, they do have a lot of injuries. John, you agree that Calgary is suffering the most?
Well, on defense, I think they're pretty hurt. You know, specific names, you know, I don't follow the West injury list too often, but I've just been reading that the general consensus is that the Calgary defense has a lot of banged-up players right now. But again, I think, you know, at this time of the year, guys, unless it's something that you can't stand on or you can't bend, it all means nothing. You know what I mean? It really means nothing. Losing a player like Chet Tackard where it's permanent, that's something. But if you can dress for the game, they're going to play to their ability. Maybe not at, you know, 100%, but, you know, 85, 90, it's going to happen. And I don't know what to say anymore about this game except for the fact it's coming down to the wire. You know, everybody's saying, well, wire? We're still 4 days away from it. I think right now it's coming down to the wire. These guys already know what they're going to do. The practice schemes have been already laid out. Frank, you were down at the practice, and you're saying that the defenses are playing sharp in Toronto, and I'm sure that's exactly what's going on in Calgary right now too. C'est la vie, guys. It's going to be a good one.
Well, there's still two more days of practice. And I think, you know, there's always at one point or a couple of points in the playoffs where a team throws out a surprise.
Durant's their secret weapon. That's what I've been reading. That's, they're going to be
wow.
the secret weapon. I mean, he, you know, the rushing yards that he got was the most he got in the entire season. I think 36 was prior to that or something like that. So,
yeah, but like you said, John, like you said, he said, it was an opening I couldn't resist, and I just went to the opening. And what I like about Durant, Darian Durant is a very intelligent quarterback, and he's a very smart man as well as an intelligent quarterback. He clearly said, and I think I had the interview. I couldn't find it, but I'll tell you what he said. He basically said that I don't need to take too many chances because I want to be here all year, you know. So he has at least the consciousness to know that every time he goes downfield with the ball tucked under his arm, there's an opportunity for something not very pleasant to happen. So while he did do well running, he's not a risky kind of guy when it comes to running. And I think you know, Mike, you'll probably be able to speak to that better. He is a conservative guy, even though he has the legs to run. Isn't that a fair statement?
Yeah, definitely. And if I could add, too, when it comes to Durant, you know, he's taken a lot of flack the last couple of years, and he hasn't quite lived up to the expectations people put on him back in 2009. But, you know, when you look at quarterbacks in the CFL and Cavill and Burris in particular, those guys, it took them years to finally get over the hump and win a title and, you know, really become the elite quarterbacks that we think of them. Like, you know, we all look at Cavill as the greatest of all time, but we forget that Cavill basically started, you know, what, in the mid-90s? Didn't win a great cup till I think about 2002. You know,
yep.
I mean, think about that. Then, not to mention how many Grey Cups he lost. Wasn't it like five? So, you know, all the greats, they've all struggled. Yeah.
Yeah, and they always will struggle. That's one of the things that you know, they can't help is struggling is something that every player goes through. The key, I think, for players is does their struggle extend over time? The real key to great players, they have moments maybe when they're not so great. And I wouldn't exactly refer to Eli Manning in this conversation, but actually that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that, you know, all of a sudden the guy seems to lose it. And as quickly as they lose it, the great ones pick it back up again. So yeah, so I love Darian Durant, and I think he's a great guy. Mike, you got
okay,
cut
let
off
just
there.
Throw,
yeah,
let me throw something
that.
Out there while we're talking about Durant. Now, the pressure's on him, obviously. If hypothetically, you know, he doesn't end up bringing the Grey Cup to Regina and having it played there, do you think you know, the Riders management might let him go?
If he had lost to BC, I think definitely. Had they lost last Sunday, there was no question. I think he would have already started moving to Winnipeg now. But, you know, yeah. Right now, the fact that if you think about where they've came the last 3 years, just think about it. 3 years ago, they were one of the worst teams in the league, and they were totally a mess. Last year, they finally got back to the playoffs, and they were, I believe, 8-10, third seed in the West this year, 11-7, second seed in the West. So there's a progression. And, you know, at this point, there's no way they could, because what's the alternative? You know, Drew Willie?
Well,
I mean, come on.
No, I mean, but, you know, the Rider Nation has been waffling with Durant. You know, it's like a wave up and down. And it's like they love him, they hate him, they think he's the best. And then when he loses four or five in a row, it's like, you know, maybe it's time to change him. That's where it's coming to. Right now, everybody's in love, okay? But mm-hmm. I'm just saying, is that going to come back to him and perhaps there's a different direction they have to go at quarterback if he can't pull it off and win this Sunday?
I don't know, man. I mean, when you listen to, like, the management, you know, Brandon Taman in particular, he's really high on Durant. And, you know, they just signed him to an extension previous to this season. And from all indications, it seems like the coaching staff and the front office management is totally behind him. And from what I can see, I think it's just the fans have issues with him. I think as a team, they're behind him 100%. And they know that he's capable of becoming one of the all-time greats. But he just got to get over that first hurdle and get that first title. And I don't know, man. I think they're going to do it, man, honestly. They remind me so much of the Argos from last season. You know,
yeah.
The way things are falling in place. And I don't know. I can see that little magical run happening again.
You know, I'm really excited about all these storylines that are coming out. These two rivalry finals are very rare, okay,
mm-hmm.
guys? I mean, we know how rare the Hamilton and Toronto one is to be in the Eastern Final. And the last time they were really in it, they were really that good teams. I mean, they're both on double digits winning records this year, which is a rarity. And to play each other
Hamilton.
In the Eastern... Yeah, yeah.
Stop talking about the Eastern Final. Let's talk,
I'm getting
West.
To the Calgary one. I'm just leading
okay,
into
hang
it,
on,
Frank.
Hang on,
but you got to let me explain there. Are
hang
there
on,
rivalries?
Hang on. We got another caller here. Who's calling?
Hey, this is Mike Townsend, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Okay, hang
Troy,
in there.
Mike,
John's on a roll. We'll let John finish his roll. But let's try to keep it to the West for now. Okay.
Well,
and
Mike,
then
I'm trying to
get
into Frank, but you got to let me finish the sentence. I got to explain the rivalries for listeners who don't understand the importance of these rivalries. Like I said, long time and first time in a long time for the Eastern for it to happen. Same here with this rivalry with Calgary, and to play in Calgary. It's one of those things where it's been a long time for this kind of a Western final to happen. There's a lot of big storylines, but most importantly that these two are very big rivalries that are involved here. So I love this, you know, last 4 days, this last week, there's a lot of stories going on here, and I think the fans are going to bring these stories out more as we go along. That's what I'm trying to lead into, Frank. Thanks.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I got a 10:30 guest, guys, that's coming in. I'm gonna. First of all, I've got our buddy Rob, and now Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm gonna call him right now. Okay, I'm gonna let you introduce him. All right. I want you to tell everybody who he is, where
okay.
he's been, and the fact that we're gonna have him on the show to talk to us. And I'm calling him right now. I hope he's ready for the call. Go ahead.
Okay.
Introduce him for us.
Okay. This is Stephon Jones, who played, I believe it was 1985, started with the Edmonton Eskimos. Then he went 96, 97, 98, 89. Sorry. 85 was Edmonton. 86, 87, 88, 89 was Saskatchewan. 90, 91, 92, 93, 94 was with the Ottawa Rough Riders. And it's Stephon Jones.
Stephon, does that sound right? I think I've got him on the phone here. Stephon, you there?
Okay,
yeah,
well. All right.
No, we'll get it. He's hooked in.
Rob, he's hooked in, but he's not answering. And I've got his mic. I'm looking at the phone number to make sure I called the right number.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right number. He picked up, but I don't know where he is. His phone's live. And, well, listen, I'll leave his mic on, and we'll go back to what we were talking about. And let me finish with the boys, and then we'll when he pipes up, let him know that I called him, and I'm basically almost not on hold, but...
Unless I call him from my phone to get him on.
Well, if you want to try that, you can try that as well, but he'll have to... Okay?
Hold on a second, then.
No worries, no worries. We'll move on. Okay, yeah. So... So basically what we're talking about here is we're talking about two teams that have this rivalry, have had this rivalry for a while. By virtue of Saskatchewan not winning that many Grey Cups but showing up to a few, Calgary is really, you know, one of the better teams in the West historically. Is that part of it as well, guys? Christopher, you first.
Well, I don't see that big of, I mean, there's an argument in here as to Calgary-Saskatchewan rivalry. It's only a rivalry because more Saskatchewan fans show up to a Calgary game because it's close by. The rivalry with Saskatchewan is Winnipeg by far more. And Calgary's has always been with Edmonton, but Edmonton's been lame lately. So, you know, the rivalry between Calgary and Saskatchewan isn't as big as what everybody wants to make it out to be for this game. I mean, the rivalry between Toronto and Hamilton is indisputable, but this is a much lesser degree for both of these teams. They both have a greater rival.
But okay. I guess then, so what it comes down to is these are two teams that want to win this Grey Cup a lot, and the other's in the way. Is that it then?
These two teams hate each other. There's no doubt.
Okay, but that speaks to rivalry, doesn't it?
I'm not saying the rivalry isn't there. I'm just saying that this isn't the albeit largest rivalry that's there. I mean, BC and Saskatchewan have a rivalry going back and forth, okay? So, you know, every team does. You get to play them three or four times in a year, you're going to have a rivalry that's going to come in place. But, I mean, historically, that's not the rivalry in the West.
Yeah,
that's my only point
on
that.
Is it BC and I thought you know, Calgary is Edmonton and Winnipeg is Saskatchewan, the Banjo Bowl, and we got the Labor Day.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. That's what
he's
saying.
Oh, okay, but BC plays Montreal.
BC doesn't have a rival.
No, BC.
That's why we're talking about Alaska last game.
No pun.
Okay, I get it.
No pun intended, Christopher. BC is an island when Winnipeg comes back into the West.
Oh, without question. Without question, it's hurtful. We're sad. We're all alone.
Yeah, like you care. There's always Alaska.
Yeah, like I care. Not really.
Right, but you know what, though, guys? I think what's making it more of a rivalry now was when the Corey Sheets, John Cornish thing came out. That's when it started brewing as a rivalry.
True enough. Yep.
And you know, when they play, this still, the Corey Sheets ordeal is still going to be on the mind of a lot of Calgary players. You know, they plan on doing the same thing they did when they played them last time. They plan on stopping Corey Sheets. So in years to come, this is going to be a great rivalry. It's starting now, but years to come, it's going to be a great rivalry.
So you, Mike, you being a Detroit, Mike, you being a Rider fan, you follow the Riders as much. So, what's your rivalry favorite? I guess I want to know. Are you more interested in the Calgary thing or the Winnipeg thing that happens every year?
Well, me, I'm a Rider fan, but
okay.
I'm a Ticats number one fan.
Oh, ouch. Okay, so you like the Toronto Argos, you know. The Hamilton-Toronto rivalry, I guess you're going to be watching which game? Well, you're going to be watching both.
Right.
Why wouldn't he?
Right. I like the Hamilton-Toronto rivalry. I really like that.
Well, Mike, we'll talk about the East at the last half of the show. We're talking West now, so let's stick to the West. Let's talk about quarterback comparisons here. We all know both quarterbacks. Well, mm-hmm. actually, I guess we have to know all four quarterbacks.
Starting?
Yeah, who's Calgary starting? Probably Kevin Glenn.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they announced
Kevin Glenn already.
There you go. So comparing Kevin Glenn and Darian Durant, two very experienced quarterbacks. Mike Manasseh, you first. Compare the two quarterbacks for us, strengths and weaknesses in your mind.
All right, so I'm going to try to be as non-biased as possible, but Kevin
Good
Glenn,
luck
I think,
with that.
Kevin Glenn, I think, is a more accurate passer, and, you know, I think he has a better feel of the game and knowing when and when not to take risks. And on the flip side, Durant, while he may not be as accurate, I think he's got a stronger arm, and he's obviously got more speed with his legs, and he takes more risks, and he's willing to take the chance to try to get the big play. So if you need a big play and you need more production, I think Durant's your guy. But if you need a guy just to manage the game and, you know, not make a big mistake or have any turnovers, Glenn's your guy. So both quarterbacks, I think, fit each team and what they need.
Are they both mobile, equally mobile?
No, Glenn's
nope.
not that mobile. And not to mention,
okay.
Glenn is, you know, I know he's got Drew Tate on his team, so it makes him look more, you know, like less injury prone, but he's just as injury prone too. And yeah, that was his case back in Hamilton. And, you know, he's a guy, you hit him too hard, he'll probably come out for a play or two. And so there's no guarantee he's going to make it the whole game, to be honest.
Michigan Mike, what do you think?
I agree with Manasseh. You know, Kevin Glenn is more of a clock manager, accurate passer. He's not going to take too many risks. And with Durant, if the running game with Corey Sheet is not working, all you got to do is open up the middle, and Durant, he's going to scramble, and he's going to make it work with his feet. He's going to run. And he's going to turn a minus negative play to a positive play. That's what he did against BC. When
the
running game wasn't working, He did it on his own.
The defense is, how do you see, Mike Michigan, how do you see the quarterbacks dealing with the defense? Which defense is going to have more to say, you know, has a better opportunity of killing the quarterback's mojo, if you will?
I think Calgary's defense is going to have a better chance.
Mike Manasseh, just a quick answer on that one. Who do you think?
No, it's definitely the Riders. And I just want to let you know, Rob is hitting me up here, and he's telling me that him and Stephon Jones are on, they're on the line, but they're on mute.
Yeah, they are. They are on mute.
Okay,
let me just get this question around the horn, John. Defenses. Which defense is going to be able to control the quarterback better?
Well, I like to go back to the quarterback you're asking, Durant, Glenn. I think Glenn reads the defense better than Durant does. I also think Glenn, he's a little bit better on the quick release when the pressure's on than Durant does. He gets a little bit scrambly, and you can see him, moving on his feet left to right, and he gets caught in the pocket, and then, he gets a lot of sacks on him. To me, Glenn's got the slighter advantage when it comes to reading the plays down the field and reading the defense setup. Durant, mobility-wise, I think he's a better runner, and I think this is where Calgary is going to be falling for a surprise here. I think Durant's going to have another rushing game, and I think turnovers are going to be the key here, which I think Saskatchewan are going to win the turnover count here, guys. That's my opinion on those.
Okay,
yep.
So basically, I'm going to tell you what I think, and it's real simple. Glenn has to divest himself of the responsibility of carrying a greasy turkey on a big game. He tends to fumble the ball under pressure, and he tends to make mistakes. The question really is, will Durant, in my opinion, it'll be the team that wins will be the one with the quarterback who makes less mistakes. In my opinion. Okay, so we've got, as promised, Rob J. Emery, and he's with Stephon Jones. Let's bring them in. Stephon Jones, longtime CFLer, been away from the game for a while. Stephon, Rob, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hey, Stephon. So,
you know, I tell you what, it's interesting to listen to you guys talk CFL. Of course, you know, playing all these years and everything and watching and being a, a big fan of the league. It's nice to hear people talking what I love to watch and hear about. It's very interesting.
What do you think of the we're talking about the Western Final in the first hour? In about 15 minutes, we'll switch over to the East Final. What do you think of the West Final? The quarterbacks, the defenses, offenses. What jumps out at you?
Well, I tell you what. After listening to you guys, and I will say this about both quarterbacks. I think you guys have half of it right, and missing a little bit here and there. But basically, their arms are almost identical when you talk about strength. But I would give an edge to Durant, but just a small edge. And as I said, both of them have rather weak arms. Now, I won't call them weak, but they're not anything to brag about. They're not like guys who can throw missiles out there, but they can get the job done. As far as running the ball, there's no question that Durant is the better runner. And, you know, it not only is he younger, more agile, and he's just a bit faster, too.
Now, the teams themselves, the defense, which defense is better suited in opposition of the other quarterback?
Well, you know, they're well matched all around. I think, let's put it this way, if you were a betting man, I think it'd be hard to stay away from who's ever the underdog, because I see a one-point game possibly. I wonder if Gasloff is going to be back out there this week or not. But as far as defenses go, they're both, they're both pretty good, and very pretty good is an understatement. They're both very good defenses. So, but they also have both, of course, very good offenses. So this is just to me a matchup made in heaven right now.
And it doesn't stop at the quarterback, does it, Stefan? It also goes to the running backs.
Exactly. When you look at Cornish and Sheets, and you know what's been going on there all year, and I think as most would agree that Cornish is, the winner there. But and Sheets brings a lot to the game, of course. You know, he's a great runner. It's like comparing a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, you know. So two quality backs, and but you do have to give the edge to Calgary.
Because of the strength, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Cornish can do I like what he does in open – well, I can't say open field, but I like how he hits the hole. I think he hits it a little bit better than, the kid from Regina. Not to take away from Sheets, because he's, he hits the hole hard also. But Cornish can give you more, diagonally and bust up in there. You just have to give the edge to Cornish.
Now, how long have you been out of the game, Stefan, exactly?
Well, I came out in 2004, stayed here, and after 2004, stayed here in Ottawa. Actually, I did a little radio, too, here on the Team 1200, and did a lot of stuff for them. Started working elsewhere and stuff like that. And, I haven't been back in radio for a while, but it's just staying here. It's been about, I've been in Canada now for damn near 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
over half my life.
Yeah, so you're more Canadian than American.
Exactly, eh? Let me go get a Timmy.
Grab a coffee. Listen, you're very welcome to be on the show, and we're more than happy to have you be part of it. This is basically... if there was a coffee table here, there'd be a case of beer on it. We'd be talking football. That's pretty much the attitude on this program. We're fans. We enjoy the game. Some of us like to think we're experts. Some of us know we're not. We run the gamut here. So welcome to the program. And, Robbie, are you there?
Yeah, still here, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing Stefan on board. Questions of Stefan? He chose to stay in Ottawa, and I would have to say the first question I'd have to ask, get him on the hook since he lives there so he can't run away. What do you think of the name Red Blacks?
Well, when you first heard it, of course, like everyone else, because it's a bit different, you're a bit shocked. And, I think it's starting to settle in with everyone, and believe it or not, just a couple weeks ago, they had a rugby game played on TSN, I believe it was, and it was the All Blacks?
Yes,
and
All Blacks.
The All Blacks, yep. And I think that kind of, it gave it some validity, and it just hearing the word, hearing the team pronounced that way, kind of, you know, made a lot, I think a lot of people feel a lot more comfortable with the name, you know. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I think it'll grow on everyone, and a name is I hate to say it, just a name, but I'm glad it's not the Rough Riders. Me personally.
Yeah, well, you don't want the second Rough Riders doesn't turn
you
on.
Yeah, you know, it was, although I love both teams, I did play for both teams.
You know,
Robbie, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. You played for both teams. How weird was that? You were a Rough Rider a lot.
Yeah, I was only briefly a Rough Rider in only
1985.
Year, basically, 85, yeah. But it's just, you know, I understand and I know the whole story behind it. Of course, we know that the Saskatchewan, well, the Ottawa Rough Riders had the name first. Then there was a major war, and then the Regina team came along, and they called themselves the Rough Riders also. And then while I guess the Rough Riders were, let's say, during that war period, weren't participating in the league. So when they came back, they said, hey, we're still taking our name back. We still want our name. So, and then you end up with two Rough Riders. So I understand how it happened, but, you know, it's unfortunate.
You know, the important thing in the name, as far as I'm concerned, I think what it'll come down to, totally, without question, what it'll come down to is the word people use after games after Red Blacks. If it's Red Blacks 1, they'll like the name a lot more than Red Blacks Blue.
and you're absolutely right about that. And you know what? And what you said earlier about some want or think we're experts. Well, all you guys are very knowledgeable about the game, and it's nice to listen to you. I have to make sure I get this. Is it? I guess it's a podcast or whatever.
Yes, it is. It's a podcast. Oh.
I'll be sure to get that bookmarked and listen in.
Well,
we
want you to call in as well since you like talking football. We go, by the way, I started this program with the help of John Granger, who's in the room with us right now, back in January,
mm-hmm.
talking about the CFL. And John will tell you, we were doing it five nights a week.
Oh,
talking about the CFL in January.
That's
well,
awesome.
Frank, first of all, Mr. Jones, it's just an honor to have you on the show tonight. I loved hating you as an Ottawa Rough Rider, and I mean that as a compliment, because if you weren't good, I wouldn't have noticed you.
Yeah.
And when, especially in that season, you know, 1992, I think it was that was the year that I kind of really picked up. You had a good year that year.
Oh, yeah.
And I, like I said, a real honor to have you on the show and to hear your opinion. And I kind of had a feeling you were going to slightly favor the Rider talk because that's originally where you were drafted with, right? So, by the way, Frank hasn't a chance to ask you, who are you favoring this weekend in the West game?
Me or Frank? Or I'm sorry?
No, you. I want to know you, Stephen.
Okay, well,
who are you?
He doesn't care what I think.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, who cares what Frank says?
Yeah. I tell you, you know, this one is so hard and hard to go with someone definitely. But I think just looking at it and Calgary playing at home, but here's what I'll tell you as an ex-player. You know, that two-week period off really can give you a lot of rust. And, knowing that, Huffnagel played the game and hopefully he can have those guys playing their best football. And if he does, I think I would have to go with Calgary. I think Calgary will win this game.
Let me ask you with a follow-up here. Now, these past two the games that they had, they were both very high adrenaline, ending with like a drama. Do sometimes players come out of these games where they felt like they've won something because the Ticat bench was, you know, in such celebrations that they felt like they already won the Eastern Final in Saskatchewan, winning in front of their fans and having that jubilation kind of made them feel that way. Is there a slight letdown, perhaps maybe in the locker room itself, maybe a little bit overconfident going into this kind of a game after these kind of finishes that they had?
And, you know, that is an excellent point because a lot of times, exactly what you said, some guys can be so up and so happy about that win that they kind of lose focus And you're exactly right. The coin can be flipped the other way, and in most cases, when you get that, you'll have a blowout in the finals. You know, in both finals. You know, like when you have a team who's playing someone who's pretty close for that, you know, second and third spot, and then they play, and they play a very hard, emotional game. Next thing you know, that's it. They their cup's over. So then they go and get blown out in the finals. But I think both, you see what's happened, though, in the league is there is a lot of parity, and there are a lot of good players and a lot of good coaches. So I think so those days of you know, having teams that are powerhouses and just being able to walk to the cup is over. So, you know, in really in both finals, anything could happen. But as
100%.
I said, but as I said though, I just looking at home field advantage and that game, you know, it's a tough one, man. You know, we all have an opinion on this one, but I too couldn't say that with any confidence. Who's going to win?
Yeah, you know, Stefan, you touch on a very important point, and really, you know, the six teams that made the playoffs, I know. There might be a little bit of snickering when I include BC in this and Montreal, but I believe any of those six teams could have won the Grey Cup this year. Yeah, exactly. It really, like, you know, the East really, who really was the best team in the East at the end of the season, and who was the best team in the West at the end of the season?
You're right.
It has been an incredible year. What did you think, Stefan? Have you ever seen backup quarterbacks have the success they've had like they have this year?
Oh, no, without question. This has probably been, I guess, in CFL terms, particularly when you start talking about the backup quarterback, the year of the quarterback, because I have never seen anything like this before in my life. And I guess you just have to go to scouting and look at the scouts and say, hey, man, job well done, because it is hard to find people who can play. It's a lot of people who can put on some pads and get out there and run around and play the game, but playing it well is a different story. And especially as a young guy, to get out there and play that well was rather phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been great. We've got a few minutes left for the West, so let's go with the predictions. We'll start with John. John, who do you predict's going to win? And in about a minute, why?
Okay. I'll give you 30 seconds. How about that, Frank? I've been flip-flopping for the last week and a half because, you know, again, Calgary has the additional quarterbacks that can step in. The running back is strong. The defense is a little bit banged up. But, again, I'm thinking that, you know, the Riders have so much at stake here that perhaps there won't be a letdown after this past game. And as Mr. Jones said, I think it might be a one-point margin here where the deciding factor might come in. I think it's the person with the last possession wins the game. So what's the answer? Slightly Riders.
There you go. How about you, Robbie? Haven't heard from you in a while.
The Riders. I think the Riders will take it. You know, they got a lot of, you know, I'm not saying the other teams don't have good players like them, but, you know, the Riders have a lot of better players, I think. And I'm
a little more depth.
Yeah,
a little more depth.
Yeah.
Okay, Manasseh?
Yeah, Riders are winning, and that's about it.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
I really can't believe you said that.
I'm shocked and disturbed.
Christopher, your turn.
I'm going to stick with the other Jones boy here and go with Calgary.
Oh,
and I think their offense is much stronger. It's much more stable. It's more I don't want to use the word predictable.
Stable.
It's there. Calgary's weakness right now is their interior line, and if they can on the D, and if they can shut down Sheets coming through the middle or Durant, then Calgary's going to take this.
Yeah, I guess I'm the everybody else has had their chance. I guess I'm going to say the Calgary Rough Riders are going to win.
Townsend. Miss Townsend.
Well, that's a good safe one.
Why not have another Riders team?
Mike Townsend, what are you thinking there, buddy?
I'm going to
say,
I'm going with Saskatchewan also. And the reason I'm going with Saskatchewan because they're preparing for this battle with Calgary. It was a bad taste in their mouth when they lost a couple of weeks ago to Calgary. So Durant had to play good against BC because they wanted this rematch just as bad as Calgary wanted this rematch. So it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I'm picking Saskatchewan by three points.
Calgary has not forgotten Dwight Anderson's message at the end of the last game.
No,
Calgary has not forgotten that one.
Yeah, you know, but that dog can only hunt so long, don't you think, Christopher?
Well, it's there.
Now, how long can that dog hunt?
I agree.
You said that Saskatchewan has really backed off on the trash talk for this week, that they're not trying to create problems with Calgary. They're not trying to give them too much incentive and everything else, right? Well, Calgary's going back and finding it themselves. Okay, they're pulling out the Dwight Anderson's message out there, and they're saying, "Hey, no, remember this? This guy disrespected us, and we're going to play it." And he might as well have said it yesterday.
I didn't say that they wouldn't, still feel some of that. But I have to tell you, there's a difference between fresh and been sitting out on the kitchen counter for the day. You know, it's just not the same.
It's on the counter. It's rotting.
It's rotting. Yeah, no.
This is rotting. This has been sitting there festering. It's gonna motivate.
I think that's
what the Calgary used the trash talk for motivation right now. And right now, Saskatchewan, they're rolling on all cylinders. They're not gonna trash talk. They're gonna go out there and play the game. And my thing is, if the running game doesn't take effect, what they might need to start doing is using Corey Sheets like a Reggie Bush. Bring him out the backfield, throw him a couple of passes, let him get going, and then wear the defense down, fourth quarter, give him the ball, let him shove it down his throats.
Yeah, and the question is going to be whether Sheets will be able to run against, against Calgary. That's going to be the key. So we got Asaf basically at quarterback. As far as the running backs are concerned, really we've got a pretty much Asaf. The problem may be, the difference may be in this game that the injuries, the injury bug has bitten Calgary a little harder, and the motivation, that might be made up by the motivation on trash talking. So really, I agree with you guys, it's going to be a very close game, probably 1 to 3 points, and it may also be high scoring. This may be the game we talked about earlier about the 100-point plateau. This might be one of those games that goes anywhere from 75 to 100 points between the two of them. It'll be a great game, to be sure.
Not going
to
happen.
Nope. Wow. It'll be
low scoring?
Not
going to happen. It's not going to be at 75 points.
Okay. I'm waiting to see.
I got Riders winning by 3.
Regardless, right? You're plus minus guy. Okay. All right. So, listen, we're going to take a short break. I had lots of interviews, guys, but for some reason... I'm paying my respects to Stefan Jones, who's joined us, and, of course, the rest of you guys always make it interesting to be on the air. And I'll remind everybody at CFL.ca, you can see lots of information about the CFL, and all the teams have their own as well. What I did want to do is I have a little thing here with a BC guy that we inherited. He is one of my favorite Argos. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking Eastern Division, the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Toronto Argonauts.
Mitchell,
yes, sir.
I really feel that the game against Hamilton is going to be fought in the trenches, and that's where it's going to be won.
Well, I mean, every game's fought in the trenches. I mean, it's the first point of attack, it's the first point of offense, but I mean, the main thing that's going to really come down to is how we play as a team defense and how we execute together and all the pieces fit.
Now, the team hasn't finished the season really well, but that doesn't stop you from doing better, does it?
I mean, it depends on what you look at, because, I mean, from a lot of standpoints, we've got a lot of new guys. We've got guys who haven't been here with people all year, and guys who's trying to find out where to fit in and how to play on our defense and how to fit in our scheme of things. So a lot of times, I'm trying to put it together to build something that don't look right, but I think right now, coming into the playoffs and coming on our final game here at home, I think everything's coming together fairly well.
Well, there's nicer and less meat on the table, so if you want to eat, you're going to have to be hungry, huh?
Yeah, I think we're pretty hungry. We haven't played last week we had to watch a game, and a lot of guys are anxious to get back to the bit, so it's going to be fun.
So how have you been happy with your year so far?
I've been great, man. I had a great year. It's been beautiful. Came out here all the way from Vancouver, not knowing what to expect, and then having everything go in a blessed way, man. It's been a blessing here being the whole time, from the coaches, from the players. Everybody welcomed me in here from the city of Toronto. You know, little Jamaica outside of Jamaica, it's been beautiful.
So I'm glad you're enjoying your stay here. So this week, you've got a big game. Last week, you watched your old team lose against Saskatchewan. Do you keep an eye on how the boys are doing? I know you have friends there.
I have guys who I talk to from here and there, guys who I still stay in touch with. But aside from that, I pretty much focus on things that we got to get done over here on the East Coast. I told myself last week, I wasn't going to worry about what goes on in the East Division until we wrap up the West Division until we wrap up the East. So my focus primarily is 100% on Hamilton and going out and winning this game so we can make our way to the Grey Cup.
Good luck, and two more, and you can get that ring that you, mm-hmm. that second ring.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you. Yeah, okay, that's Khalif Mitchell. We inherited him from BC. He was a guy that came with at least a label that turned out to at least not expose itself here. He really is a good team player, you know, and he seems to be well-liked by the other players. And he hasn't been a real issue like he might have been, you know, spoken of previously. Now, the best defensive player last week was a kid named Simone Lawrence of the Ticats. Here's an interview with him. So equal time to Hamilton fans.
During Sunday's Eastern semifinal game, the Hamilton Tiger Cats defense had a stellar performance. They highlighted just how far they've come this season under coach Orlando Steinhauer.
Basically, they've just been grinding. They've bought in. They've worked hard. It's never been a question of effort. It's always been execution. We finally got a little bit of stability. The same men were out there for a few weeks. So that's been really, I think, mainly what it's been attributed to. The bottom line is, as far as the game and the credit where it's divvied up, it's just about wins and losses right now. So happy for the organization, for Bob, Scott, and obviously Kent and everybody involved.
Linebacker Simone Lawrence says the defense has progressed on the field this season in part because of their strong relationship off the field.
Here, like, everybody generally likes each other. So it's like when we're playing defense, we all understand, like, we're playing for each other and stuff like that because we all hang out. We go to the movies together. We do a lot of things together. Like, we generally like each other as a team, you know. So it's like you play, like, I find, like, guys do stuff and go the extra mile and just because you don't want to let your boy down and stuff like that.
After not playing a whole lot at the beginning of the year, Simone has become an integral part of the Ticats defense. He was named the CFL's Defensive Player of the Week after racking up 7 tackles on Sunday and says he can thank the coaches for his expanded role on the team this season.
Coaches did a great job, you know, just, you know, fitting me in with their scheme and stuff like that. And I feel like, just like Coach Austin said, like when I start playing after I came off my injury, I would get better each game, and that's what's been going on.
So Simone says he is thankful to be recognized by the league. He notes that the rest of his teammates played an incredible game, and the league could have recognized any one of them. For Ticats TV, I'm Brody Lawson.
Thanks, Brody. Thanks, Ticats TV. Now, you mentioned Orlando Steinhauer. He knows the Argo offense real well since he came from here in Toronto and went to Hamilton. A lot of the issues that the Argos have to deal with in this game has to do with the Hamilton defense. The Hamilton defense has had, for the most part, the Argos number. We'll start with our big Argo fan. John, I know you're chomping at a bit to talk about this game, so it'll be Hamilton-Toronto. How do you see this game playing out? How do you see the quarterbacks doing?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you to all the Ticats fans out there for buying tickets. It was announced today that the 500 level at the Rogers Center has gone on to sale, and the tickets are not cheap cheap considering it's a playoff, $50 to $60, I believe I was told are going to be going on, but it is being opened up first time in a long time. So great Ticats fans, great support, and you know, there are going to be quite a few Argo fans there too, guys. So let's get that out of the
Maybe.
Way. Thanks, guys. Yeah. As far as how it's going to play out, Frank, it's going to be a hard-hitting defensive game. Toronto has got experience underneath them, not just the coaching, but the players too. We've been in this position before. They like playing in a full house. It doesn't matter if it's their own or if it's in the enemy's house, as long as it's full and loud. The noise factor is going to be 50-50. I know the Black and Gold are going to bring their vocals, and they're going to make it a challenge for Toronto on offense. But, you know, with all the practice that Toronto's had, winning on the road and the record that they had, I think they're suited for that. So any additional adrenaline that they might pick up from their hometown fans is just a bonus. And I'm looking for a good tight game until the fourth quarter, where it's going to be double digits Toronto at the end. I already gave you guys my score, 34-24. I think it's going to come down to that. And I think I'll let everybody else give their negative points on it now.
Stefan, I wanted to ask you a question as a former player. One of the biggest things that makes a team is the unity that a team has. We heard Simone talk about it a little bit. You can't understate that, can you?
No, he's absolutely right. It means a lot when you are all cohesive and you're together and you know you're fighting for the common cause. It just brings a little bit more out for you, and it's a big factor. And but I do believe I've seen more in Toronto over the past few years than it's been in a while. They are really a tight-knit group, and the same goes for Hamilton. Hamilton, it looks like they are Ken Austin has them guys really caring about one another and playing for one another.
And that can't be lost. So now, how do you see the matchup between the Ticats and the Argos playing out?
Well, I would have to. I can't remember the guy who made the first comment about it and had a 10-point advantage for the Argos.
John.
Okay, John. I agree with you. I think that's the way I see it. Also, I see Toronto is just too strong. They have a very, very good team. I saw that when don't get me wrong, not to say that Hamilton isn't just as strong, but for whatever reason, I think it comes down to the coach, the head coach there. I think that he's really kind of special, and he's getting the most out of his club, and I don't think they're going to let him down. So I
nailed it.
Yep. So I just see Toronto getting them by about 10 points.
Mike Townsend.
Well, I'm a Hamilton fan. My thing is this: with Chad Cackett out, and you got Jez Norwood back to run the ball along with Curtis Steele, it's going to be a hell of a running game for Toronto. And my thing is, if Henry Burris can settle down and do not try to do too much, call the plays as Austin give it to him. Don't try to scramble out the pocket. If he get his offensive line to protect him, I can see Hamilton winning 26-23.
Christopher?
Okay. I think both of these coaches are 1-2 or definitely in the top four in the league. I like both Milanovic and Austin. Austin, I think, has got more experience, and I think his players are willing to go to war for him. I do like the way Austin is rotating his quarterbacks in and out, and I know that that's a bone of contention for a lot of people, but I really think that he's getting the best out of everybody on the field, and he's given the QBs a little bit of a break here, there, and everywhere, let them catch their breath. That could be a negative. It could be a positive. I think it is a positive for Hamilton right now. It's really going to mess with Toronto's D, and they're going to be caught off guard. Their D is not great at the best of times. In fact, it's almost god-awful. And Hamilton is going to have an answer for everything that's out there. The wild card is the accuracy for Ricky Ray, without doubt the premier quarterback in this league. Absolutely love the man. And if Ricky has a great game, he's gonna tear him apart. But otherwise, Hamilton's gonna take this.
Ray's gonna need a really good game. I couldn't argue with you on that score, Manasseh. Saskatchewan isn't in this game.
Yeah,
it just depends on what Rob Ford does. Sorry.
No, for me, the thing I want to watch is Orlando Steinauer, being the former defensive backs coach in Toronto, just to see, based on his knowledge of what Milanovic likes to do, I just want to see what type of scheme they come up with to try to stop Ray. We know that some teams will try to blitz, other teams try to draw back, maybe focus on covering the receiver. So whatever he comes up with, and I think that's the matchup, is basically Ray against Hamilton's D. And Hamilton's defense has improved dramatically. And the other guy is C.J. Gable. If C.J. Gable can get going, I think it's going to give the Ticats the edge, and it'll open up things for them on offense. But I'm going to go Toronto 31, Hamilton 28.
Oh, so you're going for Toronto too?
Yep.
Okay. Robbie, did I give you a chance for this game? I didn't give you a chance for this game. Did I, Robbie?
No, but I'm almost in tears with everyone going with Toronto here.
Why is this time? It's her.
Hey, Rob, I didn't go for Toronto. I went for Hamilton.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. That's good. The good thing about it is Ken Austin has to start LaFleur.
LaFay. That's
the same thing.
LaFever. LaFever.
You
got to catch LaFever.
LaFleur, whatever. They have to start him.
Or LaFlavor of the day?
Yeah, LaFlavor of the day. They have to start him, let him do what he can do to get the Ticats in the lead, throw Burris in, or throw Burris in and lose the game. that's my take right there.
I hear you.
Well, there goes Burris's spirit. I don't think that's a good thing for the confidence of the team. If I wish, Robbie, for my sake, that they would follow that game plan, because you have to give Burris the confidence that he has the backing of the whole team, including the coaches, that they don't have to put in a backup to start the game. I'm sorry. I mean, I wish you were right for me, but I think that would be a bad formula. Burris needs to start off. He needs to get his edge on right off the bat with Chris first down throws. And I'm worried a little bit about our deep coverage. Toronto, I've seen it too many times this season, and maybe it just happens to us at home a lot, but we get beaten on the deep coverage. And that's my concern. And, you know, he's got a friggin' arm. And, you know, Stephen can contest to that. And everybody else can. He's got one of the strongest arms in the league, Burris does. And I just hope the defense, which I know Toronto right now this week is so focused. These guys on defense, and Frank, you've attested to me, you commented that you saw the guys were intercepting Ray's passes. They were so sharp, and they're so focused. McCune was commenting in the newspapers, like, you know, this is one of those tight edge games that they're just going in. They're all healthy as far as the team. You know, no one's going to say who's hurt a little bit here or there, but their full defense is back. This is not the Guelph defense that Toronto put on the field with five practice roster guys, because two of the guys, starters, got suspended, you know, the night before, and we had three injuries already there. This is a full lineup that they're going against here. So, you know, I hope they end up using all three. I think Hamilton's going to need all three quarterbacks, and if they start using all three, that means they're in trouble. That means we're ahead, and they need to catch up for us. So, I think that's
Stephon,
a good thing.
How about you? How about you, Stephon?
I do like what he said. In regards to, let's put it this way. Coaching is what it's going to come down to. All you guys came up with some great, great points, and I can't dispute them whatsoever. But if I had to come up with an actual score on something like that, it'd be pretty tough. But I think I told you already once that I like Toronto there.
Yep.
Okay. So basically, Toronto, I would have thought more people would have picked Hamilton by virtue of Hamilton's great play at the end of the season. I understand John's point that Toronto wasn't playing with a full team. I get that. But, you know, I have this issue. What scares me more than anything is that a lot of times teams cannot turn off good play and turn it on that easily. Once you're not playing well, it's hard to recover and play well. That's why a lot of times you want to be the team that goes into the playoffs on a roll, which Hamilton is on a roll. Whether they deserve it or not, I don't think is the question. The fact that they're on the roll makes it really difficult for the Argos. So what I'm going to say is for the Argos to win, they're going to have to shut down Hamilton early, score early, and put their and get their defense tired. Because I happen to agree with the boys that said that the Hamilton defense is a really good defense, a lot better than it was last year. So, and this game's going to be close. You know, I'm not sure it's going to be I think the defense is going to win. I think one of the defenses is going to win the game. That's who's going to win the game, in my opinion.
Look,
and
I'm going to say this about Hamilton's defense. Hamilton's best defensive player last Sunday was the weather. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I agree with you.
You know, John, you got to throw in, as a collective unit, you know, while Toronto may have better individual players like McCown and Marcus Paul and Patrick Watkins, but as a whole, collectively, Hamilton's defense is much more complete. And I think they really bought into Orlando Steinauer's system. And it's been proven out statistically. I mean,
hey, that Guelph game came down to the last play of the game. Let's remember that. And that was Rusty Ray coming in, coming back. And again, I'm going to bring this up. Our defense was not full gear that game. It wasn't as vital to us as it was to Hamilton in front of their Guelph crowd. That was a Labor Day feeling because it was a holiday. It was intense. And Hamilton does play really well against Toronto because that's the psychological effect that playing the rivalry has for Hamilton. The fans give them that boost, too. The city's talking about it's important to every fan, not as much as the Toronto fans, but as Mr. Jones said, it's the coaching factor here. And because Scott has brought these guys through this last year, being a rookie coach and putting them through the rigors of, you know, performing and the pressure of playing at home, I think this is going to be second nature to Toronto and something new. And I think the mentality going into this game, Hamilton, I still feel like they, you know, they got that confidence boost by winning last week, but they also celebrated like they won something. And you really didn't. And you did it in front of your fans, which gave you that adrenaline pump-up feeling that you did win something, and it was a dramatic ending. And I think that's their downfall. If they didn't finish those games that tight, I don't know. I would have probably given it a 50-50 chance as to being a really, really tight game. But I'm still going with the coaching. The coaching is the factor here, and I think Austin's a great coach, but he just doesn't have all the tools like Scott does. So
well,
he knows that. That's why he's rotating three quarterbacks.
Bruce,
and
John,
I want to iterate in this also. I didn't mean to cut you off, Frank.
No, it's okay.
We got to remember, like you said, Austin is a good coach. Now, don't be surprised that we see a two-headed monster at running back. We might see a Siobhan Walker sighting. You got to remember,
okay.
Siobhan Walker came on the
scene
last year, and
okay.
He was a really good running back. Now, if Siobhan Walker and C.J. Gable get off to a good start and can maintain that through the whole game, you got to watch out.
Yeah, Toronto will be – that's a good point. Toronto will be in trouble. If they get those two backs going, that's all Henry needs to get that passing game really going. Because once you get the running game, but basically that's in most any sport, or NFL, CFL, any game. If you can get
any
a good
sport as
game
well,
going,
Stefan, and any sport as well, defense has to help offense as offense helps defense.
Exactly,
yep.
But if you can get that running game going, then you open up so much. So.
Well, I noticed for Hamilton, their passing game, they didn't really do much passing. They have, like, good receivers. Like, they have Ellington. They have Fantus. You know, and they don't use them. Like.
But are you going by the last game, Robbie? Robbie, the weather, I think that was more or less a figment of the weather.
Yeah.
not so much of the quarterbacks. I mean, even the kickers. I mean, I've never seen an invisible wall before, but I think I finally saw one.
Right.
I mean, incredible. I mean, you know, the kickers didn't stand a chance in that game, even when the wind was on their back, because it seemed to me like, you know, just the wind was just swirling and not very good. Now, I wanted to throw in Bruce John Inch, because sometimes people on Facebook give us comments, and he's putting on his skates because he thinks hell just froze over, because I actually commented that Hamilton might win, and he's in a lather right now. So happy to hear that. But I am saying that I want to make sure that Bruce doesn't misunderstand me. The Argos are winning. it's just a question of how hard it's going to be. Yeah, so we talked about the quarterbacks. We started talking about the running backs. We talked about the two-headed monster that Hamilton may have waiting in the wings. The Argos have two good running backs, but Scott Milanovich is not known as a two-back guy. It's not in his package. Mike Manasse, do you have any views on that, on the possibility of seeing two running backs for Toronto? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, the most important thing for a running back in Toronto is to pass block. That's their number one assignment, and I think Jarius Norwood has proven to be, I think, a better pass blocker just off the basis that he's pretty much got a much bigger body than Curtis Steele. But the one other thing that I want to throw out, the one other matchup that I think we all need to watch out for is Sammy Jaguar and Dobson Collins for Hamilton. Those are the two speed receivers that they have, and they Jaguar just got back from injury, and obviously last week we didn't get to see him do anything because of the weather. But, you know, John brought up the point about Toronto being susceptible to the deep pass. I think those two receivers are going to have a big game. I really do. I just think, you know, I'm picking Toronto just because I want to see Toronto, Saskatchewan, and the Grey Cup just because I know that's what the commissioner wants and that's what the CFL needs. But I would not. I don't think any of us would be shocked if Hamilton won because Burris,
amen,
the two
right
games in Toronto – Burris looked fantastic. Yep. And everybody's, you know, dissing this guy, calling him whatever, making a big deal about Lefevre and all that. I just think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, and he's going to ready to gun it. And he knows he can go deep on this defense, and he's got two burners out there. I'm telling you, man, I don't know. Toronto could be in huge trouble. I wouldn't be shocked if Hamilton ends up blowing them out just because of momentum alone and Burris just being motivated to shut everybody up. I don't know, man. It's like a perfect storm brewing, but I'm just hoping it's not the case. But I think that might end up happening, too.
Well, if you
are,
that would be a perfect storm. So,
if Burris turns into a gunslinger, Oss is going to park him on the bench.
It depends if Burris can be a gunslinger and make the passes and complete them. It's a difference. Now, if he's a gunslinger and don't complete the passes, then
or interceptions.
Or
interceptions.
This is the first time he's had his whole receiving crew healthy. For the all year they've had injury problems, it's the first time all of his starters are in the lineup. So, you know, there's a lot of things falling into place for Hamilton just to explode on offense. Indoors, I mean, come on, think about it.
Let Stefan jump in. I think you wanted to say something.
Yeah, let me tell you guys this. Now, when you talk about Henry. Now, of course, just like any quarterback, if you play as long as he has, and Glenn, and, you know, some of the guys who play 15 years or so, you're going to have your ups and downs. But I think if you looked at his career overall, you would say that he probably has more downs in big games than ups. I don't know. That's just how I see it. I might be wrong. I may need to go back and look at it a little bit closer. So he is prone to, you know, flopping in the big one. But he's also, can fire. I mean, when he gets hot and is on his game, he is the best in the game. I think he's
best in the game.
Yeah, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer in my opinion. And that's why when I say when it comes down to coaching, it's because, you know, we have two veteran teams, and you know, and I don't know how much I agree with Austin going back and forth with Lefevre and Burris, although it you can't knock it because they're winning, you know. So
that's it. That's the difference.
Exactly. Yep. So now he's going to go up against a good coach from Toronto, and let's see what happens when you know with a healthy Toronto, how they come out. Can Milalovic put together a good package for them? And because I do understand what that is doing is making them prepare for so much. When you got to prepare for the traditional drop back, Henry Burris game, and then the Lefevre game, it just really makes the defense have to really prepare for so much that it may be overwhelming for them. But, you know, I can't argue with a lot of what you guys have said, especially the fact that after everything is said and done, Hamilton could blow Toronto out.
Yeah, but you know the thing that I find that we have to be careful of as well is that you know Ken Austin is taking a high risk high reward to tag on to what you guys are saying. I look at Burris's face when he's taken out and he really doesn't like it. You know, we can all talk about it. Now the problem I have with that is, you know, Burris is going to be on a short leash, and the question really is going to be, when is Lefevre going to come in? Is he going to come in after Burris throws an interception, or is he going to come in after Burris makes a mistake that doesn't cost Hamilton anything. That's where the tough part for Austin, you know, in pulling him out.
But you know what? But you know what? See, Austin is smart, and that's what makes him so great. I won't say great, but so good as a coach up here, is that I don't think he rarely pulls Burris after a bad play. He'll pull him at any time. So what he's trying to do effectively is, you know, keep him in the game, keep him at his highest level, but also not make him feel like, you know, you're out there messing up, you know. So he's been smart with that.
Well, we'll see.
And then plus Burris is trying to play for a contract for somebody next year anyway. So he's going to hopefully keep himself under control.
So do you think maybe that in a way Austin has given Burris a message that, you know, we're not going to re-sign you unless we win? Do you think that conversation has taken place between those two? Do you think there's an understanding between Burris and Austin? Michigan Mike.
I'm not going to say necessarily they had that conversation, but you wouldn't be putting Dan LeFevre in there so much if you wasn't trying to see what you was going to get out of your second string just in case Henry Burris don't come back next year or they get a better package to trade him off.
There you go, Manasseh.
It comes to LeFevre, I think we're reading way too much into this. I mean, the guy is a running quarterback, and what you often see is design packages that they plan on, you know, during the week that they install for him. And the games that he's had the most playing time are the two games in Guelph where the weather was terrible. Last week's playoff game, the reason he came in is because the weather was conducive to a running quarterback, not a throwing quarterback. This game in Toronto, indoors, good weather, I think we're only going to see LeFevre in short yardage and in goal line situations. You're not going to see him as frequently. I think we're going to see Burris, I think, play the majority, if not almost all the snaps.
That'll be interesting to see. That's exactly that was my point exactly. I beg to differ. I think LeFevre's going to be out there more than we all anticipate. And I can't necessarily say because, of course, none of us know, but I think it is Burris, get your bags packed because you would plan somewhere else next year.
Coming to Ottawa.
Wow. You can have him, Robbie.
Yeah. Or Winnipeg.
we want to take this LeFlower guy, I tell you.
No,
LeFevre.
We don't want LeFevre. He's even though he's a fine runner, I watched him. He went to the same school as I did. I went to Central Michigan.
Michigan.
I went down to watch him in a few games down there when he was in college. Great, great winner. He's a winner, a great, great football player, extremely weak arm. His arm is just unbelievably weak. And I don't know if he can play a whole game and do well in the CFL.
That's what Ottawa needs, though, is a win.
There's a vote of confidence.
But, I mean, it's nothing wrong with having a weak arm. You know, I don't know if you guys remember. You're probably all too young. But we brought a Heisman Trophy winner up here. And, you know, so he was trying out for the team. You guys ever heard of a Ty Detmer?
Yeah, I know Ty Detmer. Former Detroit Lion quarterback.
Oh, you talk about – and here's another guy. I'm sure Robbie already told you about the coach at Dallas. Jason Garrett, another extremely weak arm. Guys, you know, you wouldn't know it by watching him down playing, but I swear to God, Ty Detmer cannot throw the ball any faster than your average junior high quarterback.
Believe it or not. Because they couldn't take the long field.
But you know what, though? But see, a lot of times too with quarterbacking, it's not just how strong your arm is, but it is a big factor in order to make certain throws. But if you can anticipate and put the ball and out in the air before the back or before your receiver makes a cut, you can kind of, you know, camouflage the weakness of the arm by anticipation. And that's what LeFevre is going to have to be able to do if he's going to be a steady, a great quarterback here in this league.
So, Stephon, let me ask you then, what do you think of Zach Collaros as potentially the next quarterback?
Now, that's who we need to go after. That's
okay.
There's no question in my mind. If you're going to start a team Of course, if I were the GM, my first choice would I would try to go after the best lineman I could. If you don't have a good running quarterback, because if a quarterback can't run and you have a poor line, you have nothing. But with Kolarik, he can run, but he's a winner and he can throw. There's no question he is the best opportunity out there, other maybe than say a Kevin Glenn or a Henry Burris.
We've had this conversation before, Stefan, and it depends on what Ottawa's looking for. Are they looking for a name? Are they looking for a guy to build a team around? You know, in other words, are they going with instant success, or they want to build success? You know, because they do have a, you know, they do have a short time where the fans will be around if the team doesn't play well in year one, maybe year two, but by year three, they better be doing something good.
You know, you're right about that, and I have talked to Jeff Hunt about that, and he said that no, they're going out to win right away. And I think you can do that with either three of those quarterbacks. They're all exceptional, and they're all, you know, great players. But for me, I would definitely go after that Toronto kid, because he brings, like you say, a lot of youth with him, and that's somebody that you can play with for, you know, 5-6 years and build a team around.
Well, in the CFL, 15.
Well, yeah, it.
You got 40-year-old yeah. quarterbacks everywhere.
Yeah, no kidding.
Uh-huh. You know, they're everywhere.
Not for long.
One just retired.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, the career length for quarterbacks in the CFL is much brighter than some other leagues, not to mention other leagues. But anyway, all right. So
right.
So now we've talked about, you know, carrying the rock and how it's heavy for some guys. Is somebody backing up their ass out in there somewhere? No. Okay. So we've talked about the offense. How about the defense? We've touched on the defense a little bit as far as, you know, Hamilton's has improved. Who do we see as the players to watch for who may make the big plays for both teams? One at a time. John, for Hamilton, who do you think will make the big defensive plays, or what will be the defensive key for Hamilton, and what will be the defensive key for Toronto?
Okay. Hamilton, I can't comment. I don't want to comment. I don't want to think anything positive for Hamilton's defense, so I'm not even going to touch it. As far as Toronto, Khalif Mitchell is going to have a big game. And I know Chris's former player, that we got two of them, James Yerichuk and Khalif. I don't know why he's not cheering for Toronto, considering they were both former BC Lions, but maybe that doesn't matter. But I think Khalif is going to come out big. I think McCune is going to have a big game. I think these guys are just licking their chops. They want to make up for the past two games that, you know, Hamilton thought that they had the advantage against Toronto on defense. I think if Hamilton comes in, first of all, my personal opinion is that they're going to be running a lot, okay? What they started to do in Guelph at the beginning of the game was using Gable a lot is what they're going to do again. It's what's worked for them in the past that they saw was a positive is what they're going to try to do it again. And if they think they're going to get away with it, because Burris, if you guys heard that interview before the night before the Guelph game, he thought it was an April Fool's joke when he heard the two suspensions happen for Toronto, okay, on the defensive side. And he was picking at it the whole game, okay? And I think we're going to anticipate a running game from Hamilton that a lot of people are going to be surprised. They're going to try to push the ball. But I think Khalif is going to be there to stop them.
All right. Christopher Jones.
I'm not going to disagree with anything. That was John that just was talking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Khalif is an awesome lineman. I liked him a lot. Didn't like his attitude. He was a bit of a rogue. That's why he's with you guys and not us. Why do you guys keep picking up our cast-offs? I don't understand that one. You should really try to find your own.
Because you guys have the same owner.
Yeah, the same owner, exactly. We just trade them back and forth. Toronto's defense is not going to be able to deal with Hamilton. The long ball, their DBs are not there. I honestly think they're going to be outcoached, although I do like my namesake over there, Chris Jones. I think Orlando's going to do a better job on the D side of things for them, for Hamilton. And I'm still sticking with my Ticats.
Manasseh, did I hit you?
Yep, you already got me.
All right, so then we got John, and then let's see. Mike, did I get Alex, Michigan?
Chris, I think Hamilton's defense is going to play real well for him. The running game, Hamilton, they just going to have too much offensive power for him for the defense. Now, Cleve Mitchell is going to have a big game, but I'm not really too sold on the corners doing anything. I think if Burris can go ahead and play under control, get the ball out there with the crisp passes, they're going to have a field day when it comes to the passing game, and nothing that them corners going to be able to do.
And did I get everybody? Robbie, did I get you too?
Yeah, I'm pretty
okay.
sure you got me.
And I got Stefan on the defense. You got the defense in?
Yeah, I got a couple. But, you know, here it's going to be interesting because, really, both teams have pretty good defenses. And as someone said earlier, Hamilton has been getting better. You know, as we've moved near the end of the year, I mean, they were playing some damn good football there. So this is going to be interesting when it comes down to now Barnes is healthy. We got basically everybody healthy from on the Toronto side offensively, right? Or is it
right?
Outside of Cacker.
Outside of Cacker.
Yeah, we'll start with the receiving crew. I like the receiving crew in Toronto, and I think they're going to put some pressure on them. I don't know if they can cover them man-to-man, and so that means now they're going to have to bring they're going to have to play zone if they can. Will they blitz in, you know, or how will they come about it? But when you look at both defensive, I think they're if you went to the standings, I think they would be pretty close statistically, you know, and maybe Toronto with a slight edge to Toronto.
On offense only, defense.
Because, not defense. Is there a big difference there?
A big difference. The Argos defensively have not had a good year. But,
no,
you know,
they're bottom
like,
of the league.
They've not had a good year.
I agree with the fact that they are susceptible to deep passes but from watching, a lot of that was bringing players in and out, and they've had a while to get their stuff together, and when they are on their game, you're right. If they can blow up on you at any point, and Hamilton has been playing better, but I just think the home field advantage, coming off a couple weeks of rest and being able to prepare for 2 weeks for them.
It's just 1 week, Stefan. They only have 1 week off. But 2 weeks if you count that the regulars didn't play for Toronto, so he's half
right.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, there he goes. So there.
Talking about.
Okay, so then that's clarified. Yeah, no, in my opinion, the problem with the defense is I give Hamilton the edge for one very important reason. I think Toronto relied too much on Chris Jones' ability to bring guys in and get them up to speed early. This game's going to be critical, as far as I'm concerned, with Chris Jones' reputation, because it's hanging on him. The most pressure's on him and the defense. Some of the better defenders that the Argos had last year are wearing black and yellow, or black and gold, depending on how you want to look at it. There's been Hamilton went from a team that didn't have very good defense with experience, but it wasn't very good experience. And the Argos had a team with a lot of good experience and won a Grey Cup. But some of those players now, I think, have tipped the scales and the balance on experience when it comes – good experience when it comes to their defenses. Hamilton has a lot more good experience now, and Toronto has lost a little bit with some of the players they've lost. So, yeah, and Orlando Steinauer has the edge because he knows the offense that the Argos have. But I happen to believe that I still believe in Chris Jones. I think back to those four road wins, those games that they weren't supposed to win. To me, it bodes well that the Argos aren't supposed to win against Hamilton. Really, I think most people will say, and especially the Hamilton fans, say that will believe that Toronto doesn't have a chance. But I happen to think that the Argos have shown us that they can win games that they're not supposed to win. And I'm calling this a game that the Argos aren't supposed to win. And that's right, that's just
I don't know why you would say that, you know, and because basically I think this is what happens in with playoff football and a lot, and sometimes it does you know, go the other way, but we fall in love with the team who wins the Eastern and Western finals. I mean semifinals. And we think how great they are, but we got to remember that the team that's sitting around, they have a better team.
Right. Yes, well, they had a better team during this season. Yeah,
well, to be fair, and but that half of the season they were better.
And I'm going to bring something up that we haven't talked about, which is a big factor here, and it's pretty a vital factor, and that's the kickers. I love Swazi Waters. I love his leg. He is healthy. It's unfortunate what happened to him at the beginning of the season, but I think he's past that. And the way he boots that ball the last three games, I mean, the punts, he just – so it's going to be field positioning, and I think we got that advantage. People might think that, you know, his field goals are not the best percentage, but I think it was a lot of circumstances that led up to those numbers. But I still have a lot of faith in him, more than I do for the tie cat kicker. Special teams?
Kanji.
Kanji. And then going to special teams, you know, if the tie cats had their player that they dropped because his disgruntlement with the league and his agent, and I'm not going to bring up his name, but we know, Mr. W, he might have been the major factor in this game if he was still around. I think Owens is going to be the one that's going to come out with a super game. He shines in these kind of situations, and no one's talked about Chad Owens because, you know, he was hurt with his rib injury earlier this year. He gets banged up quite a bit. I think Toronto has the advantage as far as the kicking game goes, which puts a lot of points up on the field. You know, the singles all count. And I think special teams is going to come out special for Toronto this game.
As far as Owens is concerned, yeah, he's getting back into shape. But, you know, I'm going to give you guys my opinion on a wild card. And we didn't talk about Steele. I believe Jarius Norwood will be in the backfield. And I think Steele's going to make some impressions in running back some punts. I believe Hamilton will try to keep the ball away from him. Steele's going to be back there. I think that's going to be the newest wrinkle that you're going to see in the Argos game. And I'm looking forward to seeing what that kid can do with the rock with a little bit of time and a little bit of space. What do you guys think about the kicking game or specialty teams? Where do they sit for both teams? Stefan, start with you.
Okay, well, I would have to agree with the first gentleman there that Swazi Waters, I mean, you know, the kicker there, Waters, has been absolutely fabulous lately. And I, for some reason, I believe that Chad Owens, not to say that he's done, but, you know, your body can only take so many hits. And he's really been getting blasted this year, and I don't know if he'll be a factor. Maybe this rest might help him a bit, but he's been amazing, and if anyone can do it, he can. But I don't think he'll be the difference in special teams there. There's a lot of different players who could break out, but I think the game is going to be decided offensively, you know, offense against defense. I don't think special teams will be the big factor.
How about you, Mike? Christopher Jones.
I've been looking at the stats here. Hamilton in the kicking game has the edge straight across the board all season here, with Kanji outperforming Swazi Waters. Yes, Swazi wasn't feeling very well at the beginning of the season and everything else, but
missed eight
you know,
games.
Even in the
eight games,
nine. He was
nine
on
the
nine
yeah.
game disabled. Yeah, he was on the nine game
right,
disabled.
Right. But and then Noel Prefontaine came in and helped them out, and he was worse.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah. Right.
That's why he's retired.
That's
why he's
strictly
retired.
By Swazi's numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if Swazi Waters comes out and plays a good game, there's an advantage to Toronto there because Luka Kanji's not there. But he's at least semi-consistent. So,
yeah,
you know,
well, the only reason John mentioned the kicking game, and I agree 100%, is it can mean field position.
Right, but the punts from Hamilton are longer and more consistent than Toronto's this year, according
to
the stats.
He wasn't playing. If you just go by the numbers.
But Swazi Waters isn't your punter.
Yes, he is.
Sure he is.
Okay, I stand corrected there. Sorry.
Yeah, sure
okay.
he is. You just, no, he didn't play half the season. So So, you know, and in my opinion, he's playing his best right now. When I talk to him, I see the pinwheel. When his kicks start to hook, you know he's hurting. His kicks haven't been hooking at all. So, you know, I get to watch him real close. So, I'm really happy, and I agree with John that this kid's going to be a difference maker, and he has a lot to prove, and he has an opportunity to make a difference. On specialty teams, Mike Manasseh, specialty teams, kicking, do either team have an edge, and does it factor, like Stefan says, not at all, or how do you feel?
Yeah, I think John was right when he brought up Swayze Waters. I think the biggest part he contributes is on the punts, right, because he can change field position and shift it. But the one guy that we haven't talked about is Brandon Banks for Hamilton, the returner.
I think he
could be an X factor, and he could be a guy that could make a big play in. You know, he's only been in the league for about 4 or 5 weeks now, and he's already had a couple of huge plays already. So if there was a guy, a wild card out there on special teams that could change the tide of the game, I think he could do it.
I agree with you on that one.
That is a good pick, though.
He's a dynamic little runner, Bob, dead ball.
You know what? This is Mike Townsend.
Yeah, Mike.
Manasseh basically took the words out of my mouth. Brandon Banks, I think he's going to be the X factor on the special teams for Hamilton. Now, as far as Toronto special team goes, I think they're going to use Curtis Steele more as the punt returner, kickoff returner,
that's
and
right.
Chad Owens in for the for receiving corps because he's been banged up. And, you know, the way his body is right now and injuries, he can't afford to do the punts and be a receiver because he probably wouldn't make it to the third quarter.
Yeah, the irony is that was the concern the Argos had last year, and Chad Owens proved them wrong, and now that concern has basically become a front burner issue for them now.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see Steele return punts. Steele is he's getting the same reps that Owens is on returning punts, so that's going to be obvious. So that's why I say it's important that Steele have a good game for the Argos, because well, you guys mentioned about Banks. There's no question that Banks is a great returner, and he's only been there for 4 weeks. So, you know, a good player is a good player. It doesn't take very long for them to show their stripes, no pun intended.
Right.
So, right. So that leaves us now with have we not covered any position? The goalposts are the same. They both have the same goalposts. They both have to move the ball the same distance. I guess
it didn't look
the only
that
other
way
thing.
In that Montreal game.
No kidding. So I guess what we have to talk about are the coaches. You know, we have two coaches who have won Grey Cups, two coaches who are hands-on, know exactly what they're going to do. They do it, and they insist on the players toeing the line. Neither of them have a humorous side during the game. They're both dead serious. But what are the difference between these two guys? Mike Townsend, why don't you start? Do you see a difference? What is the difference between these two coaches? Other than the fact that one of them is also a general manager.
Actually, I don't see a difference in the coaching. I believe the coaching is actually equal. I mean, you got Kent Austin that can coach real good, call plays, you know, mix things up a little bit, and just the way Austin can mix things up, Milanovic can do the same thing.
Yeah, but
so I believe the coaching is basically right down the middle.
Yeah, but Austin's already been there as a player and done this stuff, so he knows the way to go and the things to call and the things to do.
Well, so is Scott.
Scott
was a quarterback. Scott was a quarterback, guys. Look, there's two drastic differences in coaching here, I think. Scott is calm, cool, collective. He has a calm, business-like mannerism to himself on the field. He very rarely gets irate unless it's on a call, but never in a situation where he's jumping up and down. And I think Austin does that to get his players psychologically involved. I think when the players see him doing that, they get extra energy out of it. But Scott's got a business mannerism to himself when it comes to this. He comes in expecting his players to do the job. He knows he's got the talent. Just do what you're asked to do, and I'm happy with you. And he's expressed that kind of coaching last year that worked for him. He's got his players already. I like the experience factor, the fact that he went through it last year. So Austin is fresh at this. He doesn't really have the talent that he wants on the team. He's trying to do his best with what he's got. They did well this year to get this far, but I think at the end of the day, guys, I don't care how many times you're going to tell me that they're equally balanced and all that stuff. No. I'm watching this team. I know what the talents are on Hamilton. And like I said, those games that they've won against Toronto are not really the best way to judge this outcome, okay? I think because of the experience and the coaching experience and the mannerism, Toronto's got the edge, without a doubt.
That's because you're a Toronto fan.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think he hit that. I couldn't
hear
that,
Robbie.
I couldn't have said that any better.
There you go. Let's see, who didn't we get in there to make a comment? Because now we'll move on to what I think is there will be a difference after the game. Right now, the defenses and their defensive coordinators right now, I think Steinauer has to be congratulated on the job that he's done in his first year. Chris Jones has a reputation. And I think at this point, they both, in my mind, have an equal status just by virtue of what they've done until today. I think the game's going to really, the game when it plays, we're really going to find out which one of them is better because, and I happen to believe it isn't going to be tight. One of them is going to really come up with a package that really is going to dominate the game. I truly believe that. And I think you can't count Chris Jones out. He is a great defensive coordinator. I think they let go too many veterans too quickly. They could have kept one at least. And I think they're paying for that. They've been paying for that mistake ever since. But I have faith in Chris Jones that now that he has his whole lineup, I think we're going to get to see the best side of Chris Jones. And even with Steinauer's best, I think Jones will show up better. I give him the edge. Stefan, what do you think?
I like that. I think that's exactly the way it might go down. But one thing, though, we can say for sure is that we know Toronto's going to, they better be ready, at least they should be ready at being able to watch an extra week of Hamilton out there trying to, you know, do the best they can to make sure they get to that point. So I always find that team sitting around waiting should, or at least I believe they should have a bit of an advantage when it comes to that final.
There you go. Mike Thompson?
Yep, Thompson. It is me. I agree with Steven. You know, Toronto better be ready. Orlando Steinauer, you know, he did a good job this year. But Chris Jones, he's going to gamble. He's going to probably do more blitzing to get the quarterback off track a little bit. And sometimes he does take some little gambles that might result in maybe a touchdown or some big yards. But he's not going to change his game. That's just who he is.
Manasseh?
Yeah, when it comes to Chris Jones, what I like the most about him is he trusts his players. Like he lets, especially his defensive backs, he likes to let them go one-on-one, man-on-man, and just show, you know, go out there and make a play like he did in Calgary with Dwight Anderson and Brandon Browner. And I think he's going to try to blitz. He's going to see what Montreal did, obviously, which is, you know, send a lot of pressure on Burst and try to fluster him. And he's just going to trust that Pat Watkins and Jahlil Carter and, you know, the rest of the DBs can, you know, hold up and win their one-on-one matchup. So it's going to be a battle to see pretty much guys like, you know, Fantuz against Watkins and all the other receivers. So we'll see. I think it's going to be less about the coaches and more about the one-on-one matchups and the players on the field. But Orlando Steinauer, the one thing we can't forget is he was there last year, and he got to work extensively with Milanovic, and he got to learn a lot, you know, about what they like to do on offense and some of their weaknesses. So, you know, he may have a scheme put together to try to attack Ricky Ray. So we'll see what.
Okay, we're down to our last 30 seconds. I'd like to say my goodbyes. Sorry if I didn't get all of you this time, guys. I really, Mike Townsend, Christopher Jones, John Granger, Manasseh Gamidian, and I screwed up that name really well. Rob J. Emery and Stefan Jones and John Granger, guys. Thanks again for a wonderful week. I really appreciate your contribution.
Yeah, well, thanks for having this show. It's a great show. I'll be listening in for sure.
Thank you, sir.
All out, all the time. Eagles! See you later, boys. Nice
one. Thanks, friends, for having the show. Thanks for having me on. Hey, Debbie. Hey, Phyllis. Hey, everybody in the chat room.
All right, guys. We hope you enjoyed the program. See you again Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in.